controls, phone, glasses sometimes as well. I'm sure you have the same problem. Thankfully, technology helps us now with things like Find My iPhone or those little tags you can put on things. So even though they get lost, they can help us find some things. But often what I try and do is also just pray and say, God, show me where to find this thing that I've lost. And often he will show me where to look. And sometimes if you are a parent and you've been, you know, at a theme park or something, and you have that horrible moment where you can't see your kid and you go, where have they gone? And it's horrible. And then, you know, thankfully, all my kids are still around. I haven't lost any of them. They are still here. But it's a horrible feeling when you can't see your child, when you're in a big place. And that's kind of how God feels about us when we wander off, when we're no longer kind of spending time with him, we're no longer doing the things that he wants us to do. We kind of lose our way. And all of us are lost sheep that need to be found, or lost coins that need to be found. God wants us back. He loves us. He longs to be in relationship with us. In Jeremiah 1, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. We start life with God close to us in the womb. But over time, we become lost sheep through the distractions of the world, through sin and temptation. Sin separates us from God. We become lost. But God longs to have us back. God loves sinners. God went looking for us. Now, Jesus was criticized by the people that were around him, the kind of leadership people of the day, the Pharisees, the scribes. They criticized him because he was hanging out with kind of people who were sinners, who weren't necessarily following all the rules. So Jesus tells them these parables to address their criticism. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 to go in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home, and then calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. So in the parable, the shepherd leaves the 99 kind of righteous sheep, the sheep that are behaving and staying together in their pen, not wandering off, and he goes to find the one lost sheep that's kind of wandered off somewhere. And that describes how God is after us, how he seeks after us. God cared enough to leave the kind of righteousness of heaven to come down to earth in the person of Jesus, to live as we live, to be with us, to empathize with us, and ultimately to die for us on a cross. In John 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It would have reminded people of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Jesus was saying, I am God, I am the Lord, I am the one who cares for you. The cross acts as a bridge between us and God. God really cares for us. God really loves us. He left the 99 to find the one. And God rejoices, and he's absolutely thrilled when we come back to him, whenever we wander off. Now, you can think of this parable and think of it when, you know, there's those moments where we never knew God and we've come back to him. But also every day, sometimes we can wander off, and actually we can come back again, and we can repent and confess and come back into right relationship with God. Every day we do that, God rejoices, and we are forgiven. God doesn't bear a grudge. Not only does God rejoice, but the church rejoices. In verse 6, he has a party. We have a bit of a party when we have baptism services and confirmations, like we did on March the 23rd at St. Saviour's. We rejoice with the 12 people who baptized or affirmed their faith in water that day. It was wonderful. everybody is welcome in our churches, in all of our congregations, whoever you are. And not only does the church rejoice and God rejoice, but heaven rejoices. In verse 7, it talks about how, where is it? Yeah, and likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. So heaven rejoices. Well, heaven's having a party every time we turn back to God. So how do we get back? Well, we need to repent and receive. We repent of our sin. We turn in the opposite direction. That word repent, metanoia, is about literally turning in the opposite direction, away from sin, turning towards God. And then receiving the Holy Spirit, asking for God's help to live a holy life, the life that he wants, life in all its fullness. It's a case of saying sorry and thank you and please. So we're going to pause for a moment of quiet prayer now, and I invite you, if you wish, to come before God. If you need to say sorry, if you need to say thank you, if you need to say please for anything at all, just in that quiet time to do that with God. It may also be that there's somebody comes to mind, somebody you know at the moment who's turned away from God or has never turned to God, and you'd love for them to be in that relationship so we can rejoice. So I invite you in this quiet time to do that as well. Thank you, God, for becoming one of us and being willing to die for us so that we can have life in all its fullness now and in the future too. Help us to keep turning back to you when we wander off. Help us to follow you and hear your voice, and help us to share your love with others so they may too rejoice and come to know you. Amen. We're now going to receive our offering. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Let us pray for the whole state of Christchurch Millicent here in Ath. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy